I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Hello. Wow. Clap your hands. It's working well.
I think your microphone is not quite
good. Yeah. Okay, this one is better.
Amen.
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 Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. How are you all? What a blessing. Amen. I am so blessed and refreshed just being here. Just honestly, I actually don't feel like preaching at all. I just feel like I should just share something. Yeah. I feel like we should just be happy. Yeah, it's home, you know. Yes. But we thank God for giving us such a beautiful family.
Amen.
Amen. So bow your heads then and let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for giving us such a beautiful church. We're so grateful that you set us in this family because the Bible says that's what you do. You set the solitary in families. So you choose our families for us. And not only do you choose our physical, natural families, you choose our spiritual families also. And so we thank you for our father, Bishop Dagg. And we thank you for the brothers and sisters you have given us through him. Thank you, Lord, for all our siblings everywhere around the world who today are all gathering in different places, in different numbers, in different countries, all of them gathering just to do one thing, and that is to give glory to your name. We are grateful to be in partnership with so many people across this wonderful globe. We pray tonight that you will visit us again. We pray, Lord, that you will let your will be done here tonight.
Amen.
Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. I pray that you will minister to your people. I pray that, Lord, tonight you will speak a word that will encourage someone, strengthen someone, reveal a secret to someone, and show someone the way.
Amen.
I pray for your blessing upon the brethren in this area.
Yes,
that, Lord, you will bless them indeed.
Amen.
And enlarge their territories.
Amen.
Give them favor.
Yes,
bless them with prosperity.
Amen.
As they seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Add all other things unto them.
Amen.
As you promised, O God. In the name of Jesus, let there be none of them who lacks things that pertain to life and godliness. Let them not lack jobs. Let them not lack cars to drive. Let them not lack marriages. Let them not lack joy for daily living, O God. Let them not lack encouragement. Let them not lack finances, O God. And let them not lack good health. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bless them on every side.
Amen.
Surprise the enemy.
Amen.
With what you do with their lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Turn their love for God into prosperity and blessings.
Amen.
Such as no one even expected.
Yes,
and no one even imagined could be the case. Because you're a God who does impossible things. When human beings think it is impossible, that's when you step in to do the possible. We thank you, O God. Tonight we pray again that you will pour out your spirit upon us and bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. I think you should high five three people and tell them, hey, I'm blessed to be in the same family and in the same house as you. And tell the person, you're my brother or my sister, if you like it or not. Even
by the hand. Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated, please. Okay.
Already blessed.
This is the guy. Hey, no sound. Amen. All right. I believe that, and tonight I've seen a couple of surprises. So give me some time to recover from them.
Amen.
One of them is Mark Evans. My God, my God, my God. So now I feel like asking who else is hiding. What can you do that you're not doing? And who else is starving us of the gift that God has given to them for us? Wow. Beautiful singing. Yeah. See, good male singers are very rare.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's good. It's easier to find good female singers. You know, females, the way they are, the way they are set up, their voices more easily flows into singing.
Yeah.
But you see, when you're a brother and you can sing, usually God has done a major work on you. So man's voice does not naturally tend. Okay, how about keep both?
Yes.
One and a spare. Because the way the microphones are going, if you're smart, you must hoard. Okay. So I've got my backup here. Amen. So it's a blessing. And I think I'd like to see more brothers try singing. Yes. Do you get it? Yes. We need more brothers and more men trying to sing. You'll be surprised you can sing. You know, and God is going to help you. Because the Bible says God makes us, he works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? So I believe that God is going to help us if we step forward to try to do something for him. Amen? And you must never laugh at somebody who is trying to do something for God. Do you get it? Yes, people laugh at us all the time. They laugh at our church. They laugh at everything we do. When we make shepherds, they are laughing at us. When we start branches, they are laughing at us. But they cannot see that as they are laughing, God is moving us forward. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't laugh at somebody think about yourself, rather. You see, when you see someone attempting to do something for God, you know, and these days I've realized that you don't have to do something to perfection to please, or for that thing to even do what it's supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to, things don't need to be perfect to work. You get it? Any of you have, your cars have scratches and all sorts of things on them. But it is working. They're not working. Have scratches and all sorts of things on your cars. All the things that matter when you're buying a car. These days I realize when you're buying something, at the point of acquisition, you are excessively fussy. That's when you notice everything. But that's the first and last time you will notice it. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Yes. The other day, a brother was going to buy a car, and I showed him a car. I said, go and buy this one. And when he got to the place, he saw a small dent on the car. He took a photograph of it and sent it to me. He said, look. He said, my friend, just buy the car. That dent could have been put on by you. Would you throw your car away when it gets a dent while you have it? Yeah, so they got a good deal. Just take it and stop being so fussy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It is the reason for delayed blessings, being excessively fussy. Do you get it? It is the reason for delayed happiness and delayed fulfillment. You postpone your fulfillment and have days of unhappiness unnecessarily. Do you get it? Yeah. Some of you are married. You are not happy. Someone has agreed to live with you for the rest of their lives. You are not happy. You get it? Meanwhile, you know yourself the way you are. That even for someone to agree to stay with you, you get it? You should have been grateful for that. You're not grateful enough. You should have been given an offering. Do you see what I'm saying? For someone to put up with your moodiness. Yeah, unexplained moodiness. Just seasonal moodiness. You get it? That changes with the seasons. Things you can't explain it yourself. You just, your face comes. You know, and your things just arrive. You become extra touchy, extra sensitive. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to deal with anybody. And yet someone has chosen you like that. Do you see what I'm saying? So stop being so fussy. They may not be everything you would have liked them to be, but you're not everything they would have liked you to be either. You see what I'm saying? So we need to just drop the standards and relax and try to enjoy whatever we have. And trust God to help things to get better.
Amen.
And even if it doesn't get better, accept it. Amen. Accept what you've got. Amen. That's what you've got. Amen. Some people don't have any.
Yeah.
You have something.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
Tell somebody it's a blessing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing. And when you accept things that you have, you'd be surprised what God would do with it. You know, the Bible says one day Jesus was preaching in a place and then the people were hungry because he had been preaching for a long time. And so he wanted to feed the people. The disciples said, Lord, the people are so many, don't even think about it. Jesus said, no, I want to feed them. Let's find some food and feed these guys. Then one of the disciples came and said, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread. It's not enough. Even if they just take a bite, everybody bites, they pass on. And just bite and they pass on. It will not be enough. Then somebody came and said, well, there's a little boy here. He has 5 loaves of bread. But the person who brought the idea also killed the idea immediately by saying, but what is it among so many people? Yeah. And so, but Jesus said, did you say someone has some loaves of bread? 5 loaves of bread is not enough. Bring it. He said, bring it. Let's work with it. And the Bible says he took it. He took the 5 loaves of bread. He took it means he accepted it. Do you understand? Yeah. Then the Bible says he gave thanks instead of complaining. Do you see? Instead of complaining about it, he gave thanks. He said, Lord, he must have said a prayer like this. Lord, I thank you. Look, there are so many people around the world who don't have anything to eat. Here we are. We have 5 loaves. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5 loaves of bread. And Lord, in addition to that, we even have some fish. What a blessing, Lord. We are grateful that you gave us something. And with that gratitude, God looks down and smiles on the little bread. And then it multiplies. To everybody's surprise, they have more than enough. Hallelujah. So instead of becoming some grumbling person who's always complaining, not having enough, people not being who they're supposed to be to you, and so on, learn to be happy with what you have. Be grateful. Take it. Take it. For 5,000 people, then why don't you want to take what you also have and give thanks for it? Do you understand? Switch from the complaining side to the thanksgiving side. Do you see? Whatever it is, even your job. Do you understand? Even your job, I tell you, the day you walk out of that job because you don't like it, someone will get it and give a testimony in church. Yeah. Someone will go for that job and go to their pastor and say, Pastor, I have a testimony. And they're going to tell the whole church, you know, I didn't have a job, but by the grace of God, God has blessed me. That's the job that you are calling a curse. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So be grateful. Go to work with a good attitude. Be grateful. As you're approaching the office, be singing. Be cheerful. Do you understand? Yeah, be cheerful. You'll be surprised you'll be promoted because of your cheer. Yeah. There are some people that need to be kept in the office environment because they are positive atmosphere creators. You get it? They are not, they don't deliver much in terms of function and productivity, but they create a rich atmosphere. That also is a reason for wanting someone to be around. Yes. You tell me, what productivity does a comedian bring? Tell me, what does a comedian make? What does he make? Do you get it? Someone who just stands up and talks funny. And talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. And yet there are some of the richest people around.
Yes. Yeah.
So someone's gift is to create an atmosphere. Yeah. Because in this depressive world, with so many things coming at you from many different sides all the time, you need a way to stay encouraged. Do you see? And to stay alive and to stay motivated, you need something like that. Amen.
Amen.
So don't complain. Rather, be grateful.
Amen.
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 Be grateful for your church.
Amen.
Yeah. Be grateful for your church.
Amen.
Be grateful for all the youthfulness in the church.
Amen.
Yes. You know, don't throw away youthfulness.
Yeah,
because as you go forward, you find out that you wish you had brought it along. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so don't disregard them. And we need to keep all the young people. Let's keep them among us.
Yeah.
You get it? Because they keep us young.
Yeah.
They keep us laughing.
Amen.
They keep us excited.
Amen.
I tell you, you will not like a room full of just grown-ups. All of us just... Very serious. All of us experiencing midlife crisis and old age depression. No. We need some free spirited people. Can I have an amen? And I believe that is going to bless us. Say amen. Right. Now, are you enjoying our new identity? What a blessing. What a blessing. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you think about it. I don't know how many people have belonged to a church that changes its name before. Just that itself is a blessing. You get it? That in our lifetime, we have enjoyed Lighthouse. Look, Lighthouse Chapel, we don't have anything against the name. We just changed. It's like a lady who changed her hairstyle. Yeah. It's not like she hated the old one. It's time for change. Let's change your style. That's it. And it's fresh. It brings some freshness. You get it? It has people asking questions. It has people paying attention to us who got too used to us. You see what I'm saying? So it's fresh. And just flow. Amen. In your life, you must also learn to introduce new things. Do you get it? And embrace some new ideas. Because God is a God who does new things. Did you know that? God does new things all the time. And you need to embrace new ideas for fresh living. Do you get it? You need to try a new hairstyle. Yeah. You see, as for hair, as for hair, you shouldn't be afraid to experiment with it. Yeah. Listen. Because it will keep growing. No, I mean the ladies. Solomon was getting too hopeful. Solomon was getting too hopeful. I had to just correct it so he doesn't get you. Yeah. As for us brothers, look, we have accepted. Look, if you're a brother, don't have too much hope in your hair. Do you get it? Even especially as you're growing older, you must start experiencing and practicing with baldness. You get it? And just, you have to start trying it. Just to get used to how you're going to look when that day finally comes. All of us, we're going to get it at some point. It's not a problem. A brother's virtue is not in his hair. Do you understand? It's just not. A brother's substance is not in his hair. No, women need to have hair, you know, for us to recognize them. But as for a guy, he's a guy. Yeah. Our substance is in our character. Yes. Character. If you're a guy, you must have good character.
Amen.
Self-control. Hard work. determination, positive motivation, and spirituality. Yes, that's a man. Yeah. Not changing hairstyles. Hallelujah. Well, so tonight I am just thinking I should talk to you a little bit about the season we are in, which is the Honor Your Prophet season. What do you think? Is it a good idea? Right? So let me read with you. A verse from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I think that will be a good one to read. Okay. Right. Have you found Mark chapter 6? Okay. Mark chapter 6. Yeah, I think let's read this one. Okay. Mark chapter 6, and let's start from verse 1. Mark 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Then Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor." Say, "A prophet is not without honor."
A prophet is not without honor.
Right. A prophet is not without honor means a prophet always has honor. Can you see that?
Yeah.
It means a prophet always has honor. Then he says, but a prophet gets to a place where he has no honor. And that place is in his own country and among his own king. And in his own house. That is the only time a prophet runs out of honor. So it is an honorable thing to be a prophet, according to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that when you are a prophet, you deserve to be honored. Do you understand? When you're a prophet, you deserve to be honored. But he says that prophets have a peculiar problem. Their problem is when they go home. When they go to their own country people. When they go to their own relatives. And when they go to their own house. That is the place where the honor is finished. And the honor is not there. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean to honor someone? To honor someone, according to the dictionary, to honor someone is to think well of a person to hail someone and to praise someone. Therefore, to honor someone to dishonor someone is to accuse, blame, disgrace, humiliate, disrespect, and condemn the person. Are you getting it?
Yes.
It says to honor is to think well of a person, to hail someone, and to praise someone. Therefore, to dishonor someone is to accuse the person, to blame the person, to disgrace the person, to humiliate the person, to disrespect the person, and to condemn the person. Wow. Number two definition. I'm going to give you four or five definitions, all from the dictionary. To honor someone is to recognize and to memorialize a person, his worth, and his accomplishments. Right? To recognize someone, to memorialize a person, to honor someone is to memorialize the person. Right? Then it says, and his worth, the person's worth. And then to memorialize his accomplishments. That's what it means to honor someone. Number three, the third definition, to honor someone is to give them notice and to give attention to someone because they are worthy of it. To give them notice and to give attention to someone because they are worthy of it. Amen. And then number four, to honor someone is to look up to someone. You look up to the person. So to dishonor someone is to disregard and ignore and neglect a person's wisdom and thoughts. Amen. Says to look up to someone is to honor the person. To dishonor the person is to disregard, ignore, neglect a person's wisdom and thoughts. Right? Then number five, the last one. The last one is to yield to a person. To honor someone is to yield to the person. To agree, to flow. You get it? One place where you hear the use of honor in this form is on the golf course. And on the golf course, when you're playing with someone and you want to give the person a turn, then you tell the person, it's your honor. You get it? That's, it's your honor. That means I am giving way to you and please do your thing. Hallelujah. So now that we have these definitions for honor, then we are going to have to apply it to the prophet. Because the Bible says the prophet is not without honor. That means he's not without any of these things. For example, the only place where the prophet is not memorialized for his worth, do you understand? And his accomplishments is in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Can you get it?
Yeah.
He says the only place where a prophet is not noticed, do you see? The only place where a prophet is not thought well of, or hailed, or praised. I'm just mixing the dictionary with the Bible. I'm trying to understand the Bible through the dictionary. Do you know what a dictionary is? Diction means words. A dictionary is a collection of words that are explained. Do you understand? So through a dictionary, you understand what you're reading in the Bible. Now, one of the things we do is to run over big words in the Bible, you know, and actually even your approach to the Bible. You see, many of us approach to the Bible with a mind that you're not supposed to understand it. You don't even expect to understand it. How many agree with what I'm saying? Yes, the Bible, even some people don't read it at all because of this, right? The mind is that you're not expecting even to understand it. Uh-huh. So especially when you start to understand it, some people feel they are making a mistake. Yeah. Even some people feel that preaching, you are not supposed to understand preaching. Some of the people who accuse Bishop Dagg accuse him of preaching in ways that people can understand. So one of the accusations somebody once said, the person was watching him preach on television, and then the person said, "Ah, but is this preaching? I can understand. This I can understand. Is this preaching? It can't be preaching. How can preaching be like conversation?" He says, "No, this is not preaching. That's not how to preach." I should go for my backup. Okay, I'm going to give everybody a chance to smile for this photographer. So take all your shots, and then after that, sit down. Finish. You give everybody give him your nice smile. Are you sure you're done? You really sure? Yeah. But did you get the brother over there, the one in the suit? I mean, you got him. Okay. All right. So now everybody says, so come and sit down. Come and sit somewhere around here. Yeah. And somewhere in the course of my preaching, which is about to end soon anyway, I'm going to give you photo break. Okay. You can take more photos. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just saying that don't read the Bible expecting not to understand it. The Bible is God's word to his children. And if God speaks to his children, he expects them to understand it. So if you're having difficulty understanding any words in the Bible, take a dictionary and try to understand what he's trying to say. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. So what if the Bible says a prophet, do you see, a prophet is not without honor. That means a prophet must have honor. A prophet always must have honor. Do you see? And says the only place where he doesn't have honor is these places, these people among them. That's the only place where the honor just goes away. Do you see? Then you must find what is honor and start to apply it as you understand it to the prophet in order to escape this. Because Jesus is explaining that this is the situation and there is a consequence for having this. You see, keep reading the verse. Keep reading the verse you were reading. It says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Can you see that? Save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went round about the villages teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is not free to rob the prophet of his honor. Do you get it? It costs those people in mighty works among them by the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when you read the book of Hosea, in Hosea, the Bible says, by a prophet. Let me get that verse for you. It says, by a prophet. The Lord God brought Israel out. Let me just share. this verse with you. Hosea chapter number 12 and verse 13. It says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. Can you see that?
Yeah.
By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Now, you know, Egypt represents bondage for Israel. If you put Egypt and Israel together, you're talking about a slave and his master. Right? So he says, God brought Israel out of bondage. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He took Israel out of the hands of their slave masters. He set the prisoner free through a prophet. Wow.
Wow.
That means when God wants to set you free from anything, one of the tools he could use would be the provision of a prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That if God wanted to take you out of something, and many of us need to be taken out of stuff, man.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah. We need to be taken out of poverty. We need to be taken out of sickness. We need to be taken out of bad habits. We need to be taken out of things that control us. Do you get surprised that you can't do the things you'd like to do? You have a will to do what is right, but you can't find in you the ability to do what you'd like to do. You know this guy, Aaron Hernandez, who died recently? The NFL guy. You see, I was just reading something about him, and my heart just broke. Because right from the time I heard that guy's story, I started to think, how can someone just destroy his life so early? 27 years old, and it's all done. At the age of 20, he has a wild break. He signs a contract for $40 million for 5 years. Tell somebody, now that's some money.
Yeah.
Tell the person, I know you're in church, but don't pretend. Tell the person, don't pretend you don't recognize that amount of money. Yeah, it's some serious money. Yeah. That's some serious money. I mean, we are in church, but it's serious money. Serious money. Yeah. Yeah, you see, I receive it the way I receive it. It's not a joke. $40 million for 5 years to do something you would do anyway. Because it's a game. And he likes playing. To be paid to play. Like you wake up in the morning, you are playing all day. Life doesn't get better than that. Look, it's a blessing to do something you enjoy doing for a living. Oh, yeah. Pray that God will bless you with something you love to do. You get it? Not something you have to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you keep doing things you have to do, you don't prosper. You just survive. But when you do something you love to do, something you would do even if you were not going to be paid for it. Yeah. Something you would do even if you were not going to be paid for it. Yeah. See, I can preach to you till tomorrow morning. Free. I don't expect anybody to give me any money or anything. I'm just happy even as I've seen you. I'm already happy. So if I don't even preach anything, I feel blessed already. Yeah, it's a blessing already for me. Do you get it? And this boy has this opportunity at the age of 20. At the age of 20, most people are now trying to figure themselves out, arranging their grades to see how the GPS came up to. At the age of 20. You see, and then before we know it, he's in jail. You get it? And I'm just thinking, it's just my thinking, that it's not a coincidence that he commits suicide on the day that his team is going to the White House. I think it gets too much for him. Yeah, because when you see yourself in that little box of a room and you know that the next day your teammates and where you could have been or where you belong and where you should have been, some of whom did not even have the contract that you have. And you see them going to the White House and you are languishing. It can be too much for you. It can be too much for you. Because a few days before he did that, he had been acquitted of some other murder or something like that. And I saw how he was shedding tears in the courtroom. Then I said, look, the guy is human. The guy is a normal person, a man to cry when he can see cameras all around him and he's crying. It means we finally got to him. You know, he's a human being. He has a soul that can feel. He's in there. So what happened? Then you start to see that people are in bondage. People find themselves doing things. Because I was reading, they said he was fighting in the jail, fighting with people, doing this, and so many things. But you can see, and when he's dying, he writes a verse on his forehead. Just in case it may help. He writes John 3:16 on his forehead. He has his Bible open to that place. You know, it's like a way of saying, if anyone would listen to me, I'm not a bad guy. Do you understand? Or I don't intend to be a bad guy, but I don't know how not to be one. You see, this is why. If you stop preaching to people, one day God is going to ask you about it. God is going to ask you about it. Do you understand? But people are in bondage. Some people can't help but self-destruct them. I mean, they just destroy anything. You see, some people get married. I mean, they can't rest until they have spoiled their marriage. I tell you, you know, when I was a kid, they used to have these toy cars that you wind. They don't have those things anymore. You get it? They have similar ones. But in my days, you had a toy car that you would wind. When you wind it, then you build some tension in the spring, right? And then you leave it on the... And I tell you, as long as the tension is there, it's going to keep going until all the tension is finished. That is how some people behave in their marriage. They are like people who have been wound. Unless I spoil this, I won't have peace. Unless I destroy this thing, I won't have peace. Yeah. And they will ruin everything until they find themselves sitting alone in an apartment all by themselves. Then they start to say, then they write John 3:16. Yes. They'll whine, they'll complain, you know, they'll fight, they'll become detectives searching their husband's phone. They won't sleep at night. One brother told me, he said, Bishop, you won't believe it. I was asleep at night and I felt my wife was turning me, you know. And then he says, when I felt her turning me, I started to rejoice in my spirit. Because I thought I was being prepared to. Then he says, next thing I knew, her hands are in my pocket. She's searching, you know, and when she couldn't find my phone, she rolls me back. Not knowing that he's She wants to check his phone. And she can't find the phone, so she's checking to see if it's in his pajama pocket. Do you see? Yeah, and so she's just carefully, just, and as she's rolling him, you know, he's also rolling coolly. And he thinks that's a call to glory. No. It's like some people, they just cannot help but spoil any good thing. You see, someone is blessed with a job. Lateness is what? Every day late. Every day late. I mean, every day late. No matter what you did, try, just be late. Yeah. Traffic. Yeah. See people. People who are addicted to pornography and nakedness on the screen. Oh. I mean, I know that you're a brother, but you know. And I'm saying that, you see, we guys, we are created in, you see, we like to see the nakedness of a woman. It's we were made that way. Even when we are bishops, it's the same. It's the person. You get it? But the difference is that when the viewing of naked bodies, especially of strangers, whom you will never see, whom you will never be able to touch. But when that also becomes your obsession and you can't control yourself, I mean, if you are sitting in front of an iPad and the iPad controls you, do you understand? This little thing has more power than all your muscles put together, then I think there's a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Because of that, you won't go to bed early. So now that is tying into the lateness for work. Because you're waking up late. You see what I'm saying? You're waking up late, that is if you wake up at all. You see the thing? And just ruining everything. By the time you finally settle with someone, your whole expectation about intimacy with the person is corrupted and totally distorted. You don't have the capacity to be truly intimate and be intimate. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because for you, I mean, the naked bodies, they don't mean anything. You get it? If you want to see naked bodies, work in the mortuary. Go get a job in the mortuary. Because at least there you'll be paid to see them. Yeah. And those guys over there don't mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, but it should not be that a man surrenders his passion. Do you understand? You just surrender it to a screen. And strangers, you know, with all sorts of evil spirits in them, are now controlling you. Do you get it? Yeah, it's not right. That's not how you were created to be. Do you get it? There is more dignity to you than that. Amen. Oh yes, there is. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is more dignity to you than that. Yes, you should be able to say no. Just because something is good doesn't mean you should have endless amounts of it. Do you understand?
Yes.
You shouldn't have endless amounts of anything. If you have endless amounts of anything, you start to spoil the thing.
Yes.
Whole thing begins to get ruined. But you see, people cannot get out of these things because they haven't met a prophet through whom God would take them out.
Wow.
Are you getting it? Yeah. They have not met a prophet. It says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of bondage. Oh, yeah. People who make a lot of money, but at the end of the day, they can't find the money. You get it? Always tax return time. You are shocked at how much Uncle Sam says you have made. You look at your 10 whatever, and, you know, you look at the pay. So what? So I made this much money. So where's the money? You get it? If you knew where Uncle Sam lived, you would go to his house to find out how do you come by these figures. Yeah. But you see, people spend they make a lot of money, but they can't explain where all that money goes. Because, you know, one of the names of the devil is Belial. Belial. Have you heard that name before? Belial means waster. Waster. Yes. So, and also the devil, it's very easy to identify him. It's very easy. You look at the names that the Bible assigns to him in the Bible. Do you get it? Then when you see the manifestation of that thing, you know that the devil... Do you get it? Yeah. So when you see, like the Bible says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to... So when you see someone who steals from you, you know that you are dealing with the devil.
Right.
Even if it's your flatmate.
Right.
Are you getting the picture? Yes. The Bible calls him the tempter. Yeah. So if you are sitting somewhere and somebody comes walking around, she's jacked up her butt and is just moving and just moving, you should know that the devil is just strolling right there in front of you. Yeah. Because the Bible calls him the tempter. Tempter. Yeah, that's it. So anyone who is manifesting temptation, that's the person. That's him right there. Does it make sense? Yeah. Easy to identify him. So Belial is a word that means waste. And the devil makes people waste things. You see people wasting their money. I mean, they have money and they waste it. But because the wastage is in little drops and little drops, they cannot see what is happening. A movie ticket here. You know? Unnecessary ride somewhere, some new clothes they don't need somewhere. I mean, your clothes are already in heaps and piles. You can't hang them anymore. They're in piles. Some of them have tags on them. Yes, some of them are not even worn. Not to mention those that you have refused to give up because of the price you pay for them. No. This one, you take it to Goodwill. Then as they are sorting, you see it. Say, this one is going back home. Yeah. You have clothes that don't fit anymore. But you have hope. One day, I will fit in them. Yeah, I will fit in them one day. And this is the life of many people, spending their money on things they do not need, instead of cooking at home and cooking yourself some healthy meal. You outsource your nutrition to someone who has a profit motive. You understand? Someone whose primary motive
is to make profit, not to feed you. No, that's not his primary motive. His primary motive is to make money. Do you understand? Yes. What food do you think you're going to get from this person? The cheapest ingredients from the cheapest places. Recycled ingredients. Things that should have been going into the garbage will receive revival and restoration. Yes. Yeah. To revive the thing, restore it, and give it life again. It's born again. That's what you're going to eat. And you're going to pay a premium price for it too. About people who do that as a lifestyle. You have to buy your breakfast, you have to buy your lunch, you have to buy your dinner. I mean, there's something wrong. You're going to get sick. You get what I'm saying? And you need a prophet. You need a prophet to take you out of Egypt. Yeah. See people smoking stuff? And they blow the smoke in circles. And you celebrate yourself because you think you have some skill. I mean, look at the skill you are celebrating. The skill blowing smoke. What is that skill going to give you? Who is going to give you what for blowing smoke? Your ability to blow smoke in circles. Make rings. You're a young man. Probably you don't even know what genetically probably your lungs and stuff are. They don't really have such a long life anyway because of the family you're coming from. But that's just yet to be disclosed to you. You don't know that yet. And you're grilling them already. You see all these young guys, who just like to smoke weed. Smoking is no way to eat a salad. You can't smoke your greens. Pasta is British, you know. These are my greens, Pasta. No. You can do better than that. Amen. You're worth far more than that. Amen. But you need a prophet. You need a prophet to bring you out. Because a lot of people, they keep themselves from doing it again. The main problem is, how do I stop? Who is going to take me out of this? Apostle Paul used to have a problem like that. He said, there are two things I want to do. I can't do that. Father, there are five things I don't want to do. I find myself doing that. And then he said, wretched man that I am. Wretched man. He said, who shall deliver me from this? He was present. Something is present. He's a presenter from eternity. You understand? And the Bible says that
the prophet. God stops deterioration by providing you with a prophet. Because in this world, we live under a law of decay. Everything from the time it's made starts to decay. Everything, do you understand? It's just naturally destined to go bad, including even getting married. Oh, true. You get married to someone, you can't even believe how you hate someone you used to love so much. People ask themselves, how did I even get into this? Do you understand? Yeah. Because just a few weeks ago, the person was like everything. But now you hate the person. You can't stand the person. The way the person has been treating you since you got married. From the day you got married, your father stopped giving you money. Because the way this homeboy used to come home, the way he used to walk, you know, your father had hope. So he stopped the direct debit to your account. That was the beginning of poverty for you. Yes. Don't have any money, don't have anything. The only crime is you got married. So over time, you get very resentful of the person who has put you in that condition. But you're in church, so you can't really, you know, some of the ideas that occur to you. When you go to the room at night and he's sleeping, you just look at him. You want to make a hole in his head. Do you get it? So we have a natural deteriorating cycle. Things just going bad. Even don't you find that even when you come to church Sunday, you are encouraged, you are strong. Then you go home. Then Monday, a little bit of it lingers. And then Tuesday, it's sort of cooling down. By Wednesday morning, Thursday, huh? Friday, you're fighting. So preservation is necessary. We need a preservation of our courage. We need preservation of our motivation. We need preservation of our Christian lives, our spiritual lives, even to preserve the hope that you have. The hope that you have that things will get better. It needs to be preserved. Because many things will actually improve. Amen. With time. Amen. Oh, I tell you, receive that as a prophecy. Amen. I said many things will improve. Amen. Not be like this forever. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. It won't be like this forever.
Amen.
It's like that now.
Yeah.
But it's destined to change.
Amen.
A day is coming, you're going to look back at today and tell today as a story. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be telling today as a story. You tell somebody, you know, those days. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
It's just lasting to that day.
Amen.
How are you going to make it between now and that day? Between now and that day, you need a preservative. You know why they add preservatives to things they make? Like canned foods and so on. Because they make them for a day that is in the future. It's a good thing, but it's not going to be good for too long. So then they put a preservative inside to keep it good, so that when that day for consumption comes, it's still good. Do you understand? So that day is coming, but between now and that day, you need a prophet. need a prophet. You need a prophet. So by a prophet, he was preserved. Preserved from evil. Preserved. I mean, look at the times our children are growing up. Do you see the season in which we live now? The whole world is so complex. It's so complicated now. Do you get it? There is more potential for confusion than has ever existed. Yesterday, I was sharing with the pastors how, you know, someone sent me a little video clip, and the person was talking about, you know, changes, like trans things. So first there was transgender, you know, that is a man who feels like he's a woman, and so he sort of changes, you know, and it gets confusing. You have a man who changes into a woman. Do you see? He changes into a woman who likes women. So what is he? Himself. You understand that? It's all so confusing. But that's how the world, and we've accepted that. Fine. Then they said from there, we went to another place where there was the second one, I forget that. But the third one was that we started to have some people who call themselves trans-able. And a trans-able person is someone, I mean, a perfectly healthy person who feels that he's a disabled person trapped in a healthy body. Do you get that? Do you understand that one? Yeah? So you have people who intentionally disable themselves. Like there's a guy who chopped off his arm because he feels that he's supposed to be a disabled person. There's a woman who poured something into her eye and made that eye blind because she feels that, you know, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be healthy. I feel like I'm supposed to be disabled. You get it? Now, that is also accepted now. Now, the latest one, the newest one, is a new kind of person called the trans-aged. The trans-aged person is someone who feels that even though he's an adult, he's supposed to be a child. So he's a little kid trapped in an adult body. Are you getting it? That's the latest one, right? And they're also fighting for access. Yes, and they're advertising and asking for they need a nanny. Yeah. Yes. And some of them are going to try to get the government to pay for it. You see? Yeah. And this is the progression. This is where we are. And this is the world into which your children have been born. Because for many of us, it's too late to change. Do you get it? But these babies that we are giving birth to, this is the world in which they are going to live. So a lot of things that you and I consider not right, we've accepted them as in we can live with it, but we don't accept it mentally. But they are going to start life accepting it mentally because they're going to have, it's going to be normal. When you have enough of anything around, it becomes normal. Yes. So that's where they're going to start from. You see, now you started from a different place and look where you are. They're starting from this place. Think of where they're going to end. But there is hope. Yeah. There is hope because God has not left us to the mercy of this dark world. Do you understand? He has not left us to the mercy. Actually, the best days of the church are yet to come.
Amen.
Yes. The Bible says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Yeah, so there are better days ahead. Oh, yes. You watch the show now. You watch it. Because the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Don't you see how you drive your car? You're driving it, then you start approaching a hill. Don't you see how you just, even unintentionally, increase your acceleration to match the hill that is in front of you? That's what God is going to do with his grace. Yes. That's what God is going to do with his grace. So the best days of the church are yet to happen. But that's why we will need a prophet.
Amen.
Because the preservation, we need a preservation of our values, a preservation of our conscience, a preservation of our sensitivity to evil.
Amen.
Do you understand? That we will never see so much evil that we've seen it, that we've lost our sensitivity to it. No, God is going to preserve it.
Amen.
The Bible says he will do it through a prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying? So then when you read in the scripture that because of the way the people received the prophet could dare do no mighty work, then that is a bit concerning. Do you understand? It's concerning because it looks like God's way of preserving us, God's way of delivering us from all these things, is to give us a prophet.
Yeah.
And through the prophet, through the speakings of the prophet, through the prayers of the prophet, through the teachings of the prophet, through different things that the prophet does for us, some of which we don't even know about. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That those things will create preservation. One of the moves that the prophet has made for us is the breakup of the churches into these denominations. Yeah. It's not just style. It's not, but it's for preservation. Because our church, by the grace of God, has gotten so large now. This church is now in 83 different countries. You think about it. Once you talk about 83 different countries, you know, now you're talking about so many different cultures. The days of putting everybody in one box and feeding us the same thing are no more. Do you understand? Our needs are starting to be a little different. Do you get it? Because we're beginning to reach different people in different situations. And if you're not careful, you keep that thing so large, then you start to increase your propensity to neglect. Are you getting it? Yes, you're going to now neglect some people. Imagine if you have a lot of pets in your house. You have dogs, you have cats, you have chicken, all these things. When you used to have just a dog or just a dog and a cat, you throw a piece of meat on the floor and they share. Right. But when you start to add chickens and you start to add birds and so on, you can't just throw a piece of meat and assume that everybody has eaten. What you just dropped there, it works for some and it does not work for others. Are you getting it? Yeah. So then, through prophetic foresight, because that's one of the unique things about a prophet, is to be able to see ahead. Do you get it? Yeah. So the prophet now looks at the situation and says, no, let's break up the church and let's create unique groups whose needs are unique. So that the groups can have their needs met in their unique way, so nobody is left out. That is why we chop the church up into 10 different pieces. Do you get it? 10 different pieces, each of them meeting a certain, you know, unique need of people and continuing like that. That is rather introduce longevity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some people are worried that, you know, but if we lose our name, Lighthouse Chapel, then when some people are looking for the church, they won't find it. That is true. But that's a minority.
Yeah.
That's a very small problem compared to the bigger problem that we're going. And you know, the benefit of our preservation that we're going to get from this change, right, will bring so much benefit. It will offset everything that we're losing to have this. It will offset everything that we're losing to have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is the prophet's counsel that has brought us into this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is the reason why we value our prophet as a church. Some people wonder and they say, we worship our prophet. Oh, they should come and see our church. Whether we sing any, what are some of the worship songs in your church? I'm chasing you, Bishop Doug, with all my heart. Captive, oh Bishop. I just can't get enough. I'll spend my days running after your Bishop Doug, Bishop Doug, Bishop Doug. Oh, oh, oh. Is that what we sing here? Do you not know who we worship in this church?
Yes.
But all we are trying to do is to honor, it's to not be, you know, not be the group of people that we see here in verse 4. It says the prophet is not honored. He's without honor. A prophet is not supposed to be without honor. But he, among his people, he's without honor. And it's not that that is as much a problem as the consequence of it, which is in the next verse, that he could dare. You see, and watch it. The Bible says it's there that he couldn't do the work. There. It's the place. Not that he himself couldn't do that work. That means in other places, he could do mighty works. Are you getting it? And true, when you read this chapter, the one that comes just before this is chapter 5. A man who has 2,000 demons or 6,000 demons in him. Do you get it? That man meets Jesus Christ and all the demons leave him. All the demons. I mean, 6,000 demons. I mean, you have 4. It's yours. You have 4. You get it? But this man has 6,000 demons. Because when demons have totally ravaged a person, I tell you, even clothes, you will not have any on your body. Yeah, because there are demons who want to disgrace you. Anything that will be embarrassing, demons want to put you in that situation, including taking your clothes off. Oh, yes. Demons will strip you naked one time. Yeah. They'll take your clothes off in the wrong place. Fast. Yes. When you meet people who are eager to take your clothes off, you need to watch out. You need to say, I'm familiar with this. I'm familiar with this. I know where this is going. Yeah. Yeah. You see. Yeah. Spirits, demons, plenty. And he cast them out. And the man, the Bible says in somewhere around, can you go to chapter 5? And maybe around verse 13 or so. Chapter 5, verse 13. And they, no, chapter 5 of Mark. Chapter 5. Right. So forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. It says there were about 2,000 of them. Okay. And were choked in the sea. Right? Then go on. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Right? Then the next verse. And they come to see Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Do you get it? So three effects demons have on people. First of all, twisted thinking. Do you see? Wrong mentality is a result of demonic influence. Do you understand? Yes. Then another one is the taking off of clothes. Can you see that? Then another one is restlessness. Cannot sit in one place, cannot stay in one home, cannot stay with one woman, cannot be in one church. The person cannot sit down. Demons do all these things to these people. But when they encountered the prophet, the people were afraid. Look at it. The Bible says they were shocked. They couldn't believe it. A man they had known all these years to be totally insane, that man was now sane, and they were shocked. People are going to be surprised at you. Amen. I said the good news is people are going to be surprised at you. Yes, people are going to be surprised at what God is going to do with your life. Yeah. Yeah. And then he leaves this place and goes to the next. He says, they that saw it told to them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. Then verse 17, and they began to pray him. They said, we beg. Can you go? You get it? I don't think it was because they didn't want him to cast out devils, but to be losing pigs at that rate. You will create an economic problem very shortly. So please, they begged him to depart out of their coast. Do you see? And then the next verse. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him. The man begged that he might be with him. Then Jesus said, Jesus suffered him not, but saith to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Then the next verse. And he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis, means 10 cities, right? How great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel, right? So he turned a madman into a preacher. I mean, what kind of person is that? Isn't that a mighty work? Huh? A mad, crazy individual who wore no clothes is now wearing a collar and a suit, and he's preaching. Isn't that a mighty work? It's a mighty work. And so he says, the men did marvel. Then the next verse. Right? When Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Next one. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Next one. He besought him greatly, my little daughter. Because every man loves his little daughter. Then he says, she lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, you get it? So one story has started. Then on the way to solving it, this one pops up. So the woman had an issue of blood 12 years. Do you get it? Had suffered many things. Of many physicians. That means many surgeries, many medications, so many different things, and had spent all that he had. She had. You haven't seen anything yet when you haven't spent all that you have. Imagine having to spend everything you have to cure a problem that you can't even share with people. You can't even tell people what problem you're having. Do you see? Yes. When you say you are selling something, everybody finds it awkward. But you can't explain to them why you are having to sell this. And she was nothing bettered. That means she never improved, but rather grew worse. You know, and when you're seeing the doctors and seeing the doctors and it's getting worse, it's scary. Usually you have hope. when the doctor's appointment is coming up. But when you see the doctors and the doctor says, let's try this, then you try it. Come back and see me in 2 weeks. Let's see if there's a change. Go back in 2 weeks. Well, I'm afraid there's no change. Actually, it's gotten bigger. Let's try this. You try it. Doctor says, come back after a month. After a month, you look at the whole thing again. Say, no. This is. Then the doctor says, well, this thing, it really beats my mind. I think, I don't know. I don't know. Well, let's just stay on medication and let's just see. Dr. Joe, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? You say specialist. You get it. Sub-specialist means you are going down. Do you know submarine? The deeper you go, the more expensive it gets. She heard of Jesus, the prophet, came in the press behind and touched his garment. You get it? She made a connection with the prophet. She said, I don't even need to know him. For she had said, if I may but touch his clothes, I know I will be made whole. I don't need to know him. He doesn't have to lay hands on me. I just need to make my way to the hem of his garments. And I know something will change. Because by a prophet, God brings people out of Egypt. Yes, by a prophet, God brings them. That is why we are asking everybody this month to connect to the podcast. Because you cannot see the man, you may not be, but you can connect to his words by connecting to the podcast. And she said, if I can just connect to the hem, just something small, I know that something will change. The Bible says when she did, straight away, the fountain of her blood, that means the source of the problem, was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. When is the last time somebody referred to your problem as a plague? Your medical condition is referred to as a plague. You see, and she was healed of that plague, right? Then go on. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Then his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Then, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and the whole of thy plague. Go in peace, and the whole of your problem. Then he said, no. He said unto her, okay, yes. Then the next verse 35. While he yet spake, this, remember there was an agenda, yeah. Right? Yeah. So this is a detour that occurred on his way to somewhere. So while he was concluding this matter, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. Too late now. I'm sure at that point the ruler was looking for that woman with the issue of if he could find her.
Hello?
Okay. And he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. No one can cross you and take your miracle away. Do you understand? Only believe. And then he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Right? And he came, he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which me being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age and of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. They were astonishedly astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then, next verse. And he went from there. So do you see where we are now?
Yeah.
Chapter 6.
Yeah.
So he says, and he went from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples follow him. Do you get it? Then suddenly everything is about to change. Do you get it? And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? You know? And they were offended at him. Do you see? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his among his own kin and in his own house. And so there. Do you get it? Look, he has come from places. You see, three powerful miracles. The demons have left the man, right? The woman's 12-year-old gynecological problem is resolved. And someone's dead daughter is raised.
Yeah.
Then he comes home. When he comes home, people are, even the way they are talking, who does he think he is? You get it? Listen, people may say what they have to say or want to say about our bishop. You just make sure you don't join them.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you just make sure you don't join them. Yeah, because it looks like what people get out of a prophet depends on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. A prophet is like a straw that you dropped in a can of Coke, which is the power of God.
Right.
Now you're going to put your mouth to it. How much comes into your mouth depends on what you draw out of. This has nothing to do with a straw.
Yeah.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the straw. The straw is the straw. Some people draw deep on it and their mouth is full. Some people just take a sip and they are still thirsty. Same straw dipped in the same can. So he could there do no mighty work, save he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And that was it. And he himself, he marveled. He was surprised at their unbelief. You know, and he went about the villages and just let me just preach. No miracles. Let's just teach them. Yeah. Let's have cell meetings and yeah. Let's have cell meetings, shepherd's meetings and these type of things, because these people any faith. Listen, I'm saying to you that let's join the rest of the brethren around the world and let's honor the prophet that God has given us. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's honor the prophet that God has given us.
Amen.
Let's not talk like the people we're talking. Who does he think he is? Yeah, who does he think he is? I know his brother. Is he not just a man? Is he not this? Of course he's just a man. He's just a man. He is a man.
Yeah.
But a man of God makes a big difference. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God is working through someone, it makes a big difference. Yes. It's like your gloves in your house. You know those latex gloves? You know, is it just not gloves? Is it not just gloves? Yes. But when somebody wears it, it's different. Do you understand? When you shake that person's hand, you don't shake the gloves. You engage the hand that is in the glove. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why the gloves on their own cannot give you a squeeze.
Wow.
But when the man wears it, suddenly those little flabby fingers suddenly acquire power to be able to grip you because something has entered it. Do you understand that? Yes. So when you hear someone, you say, he's a man. Don't fear that. No, you say, a man, the art of God. You have to change your approach to that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And I read to you the definition of honor. Definition of honor is to praise the person. Is to celebrate the person. Is to memorialize the person. That's not to worship. Otherwise, they would have said to honor is to worship someone. The dictionary would have said to honor someone is to worship the person. That's what it would have said. If you like, go to the dictionary and check the meaning when you go home. Go and check the meaning of worship. And you will see that it's different. Yes. So don't let anybody derail us. Because you can see people like to talk. You see, people like to say useless things about great people. Yes, but someone has just come. How many people do you know who have raised the dead? The guy has just raised the dead next door. Gino has just healed that woman and has just cured a notorious madman. Has made a madman into a bishop with 10 branches. It's a mighty work. It's a mighty work. And if you look at the things that God has used our bishop to do, so many amazing, mighty works. In fact, he's made our lives so enjoyable. Enjoyable because we're seeing things that we would easily have been reading about. We would have been reading about some great person. And then, you know, George Washington and some of these great guys. You know, we read about them and we go, oh, wow, wow, wow. These guys were wonderful people. But that's it. But in our lifetime, Bishop Dagg has allowed us to see and to have certain experiences. You know, he's right now, as I speak, in Mozambique.
Wow.
And he's having crusades in Mozambique. You know, who can I drop this? Bafo, can I send you this little video clip on WhatsApp? And you can show it to us. It's just like 30 seconds. It's not anything. But I just wanted you to see it because you see what God is using him to do. You see, in this place. So, Bafo, I am sending this to you. That is assuming that I have your number. Look, the only buffer I see here is in Burundi. So send me a text. Do you have my number? You do. Okay, who can I send it to? Or rather, give me a number, isn't it? You can give me a number and I send it to that number, right? Okay. Okay. Did you send it? Okay. All right. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
You surest?
Yes.
Very sure.
Okay. All right. Just give me a second, okay? Just one second. Me, please. 1 second. Yeah. So, all right. Okay, so here we go. I don't blame you, brother. It's late, man. This has got to end it somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So I am saying that if you look at the things God has used him to do, establish the churches, everything he's touched just goes to the top.
Yeah.
Great church. Our Bible school is one of the biggest, most beautiful in the world, most anointed. You get it? His books are all over the world. Today I was teaching from one of the books, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Languages is this book translated into 41.
Wow.
41 languages around the world. Are you familiar with the Macarius?
Yeah.
The Macarius, which is more like the newer thing that is done. Macarius alone is translated already. They're still working on it, but it's translated already into French, into Spanish, into Portuguese, into Chinese, into Malagasy, into Afrikaans, into Amharic, into Russian, into Tamil, into Hindi, into Bahasa. You get it? This is the Macarius, the big book. Do you get it? It's a blessing. I mean, so much so that these days we can't have just we can't have things that are just about our church, you know. Just turn around and go to bed. You get it? You're going to now have a whole lot of people asking you, what about us?
Yes.
Because, you know, we sent this poster out. And, you know, that podcast poster, Bafo, this is coming again to you. Put this up on the screen. You know, we sent this poster out. And look at it. Now, I sent it to them in English. I just made a poster and we made it and we just sent it out. Then, shortly after that, this is last night in Mozambique.
Wow.
Yeah, this is last night in Mozambique. But show us that picture I just showed you, I just sent to you. So then we realized that there's a whole group of people who cannot read that poster that we sent, you know. So then they had to make this.
Wow.
Have you seen this one?
Yeah.
You haven't seen this? No, I mean the English one.
Yeah.
You've seen that? Yeah. So that's it. So on the top left, that's me.
Wow.
That's how to spell me. This is Hindi. Are you getting it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people in their lifetime sort of have any connection with someone whom God has blessed this way and God is using to this extent. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't take it for granted. It's like a dream, but it's real. That we're sitting by something that is great and we shouldn't wait for other people who are far away to see and appreciate it, while we who are near it take it for granted and say it's nothing. That is why we are intentional about honoring him. Does it make sense? Yeah, that's why we're intentional. And we're going to do it. We don't care what anybody thinks. We don't care what anybody says. People cannot show us how we should relate with our Father. No. We're going to do what seems right to us. And let me close with this, that the Bible says, if we do, if you honor the prophet, the Bible says you will get the prophet's reward. Do you understand? You will get the reward that a prophet gives. And the reward that a prophet gives, one of them is deliverance.
Amen.
Another one is preservation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Deliverance and preservation. And there's a third element, because he is our father as a church. So then when we honor the prophet, we are also honoring our father. Then that dials us into another blessing. Because the Bible says, if you honor your father, the Bible says, it shall be well with you and your days will be long. So now we're also entering into the blessing of flourishing and longevity. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to participate.
Amen.
Next Sunday is Founders Day. We have t-shirts being made for everybody. We're not trying to buy you clothes. Do you understand? Yeah. So if you wear it doesn't fit, don't worry about it. What really matters is that you're wearing it for its purpose. And the purpose is to celebrate and to memorialize and to honor the person that God has given us for our prophet. Does it make sense? Yeah. And I want you to write a note. Sit down and write him a note. Yeah. Type something, write and put it in an envelope. Add a gift, an offering. See, here is an offering, a gift for the prophet. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Yes. You say, he doesn't need it. That's why it becomes an honor.
Yeah.
Otherwise, when you see those panhandlers by the traffic light and you give them money, then that should be honor. But you and I know it's not honor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not honor if it's given to meet a need.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
It's honor when it's giving, though he doesn't need it. That is why when presidents come to countries and so on, we give them gifts.
Yes.
Like in my country, in Ghana, when presidents come, it's very common. They want to give them. We have this cloth in Ghana called kente cloth. And when we have foreign guests, our presidents like these guests to always wear this kente cloth. Once I saw a picture of George Bush wearing one of them. He was like a parcel that's been wrapped. You see that the man cannot wait to get out of this. Do you think when George Bush was coming to Ghana, he was counting on our kente cloth? And I won't be surprised that day that it was wrapped, that would be the only last day that he would ever wear something like that. So usually when honor giving actually goes to someone who doesn't need it. Yeah. That's different from when you give to someone who needs it. That's a different kind of giving you must practice also. And what comes out of that is also different. The Bible says if you consider the poor, God will prolong your life also. It says that you go to bed, God will heal you. These are in Psalm 41. That's what it says about this type of giving. So giving downwards produces that. But giving upwards produces a different blessing. Are you getting the picture? So what we're doing, we're giving upwards. We're not giving downwards. We're giving to someone who doesn't need it, who is not expecting it from you, who is not budgeting with it. No, no, no. Are you getting it? Yeah. You just give it to the person, whatever he's going to do with it, it's up to him. Do you see what I'm saying? It's really up to him. Just like you give George Bush kente. You know he won't wear it, but you just take it. Just take whatever you're going to do with it. Just take it. You can even leave it at the airport if you want. But just take it. That's honor. Amen. So next week, I want to invite all of you to participate. 100%.
Amen.
I'll be looking out for your photos from your churches. I want to see everybody wearing one of those t-shirts and saying, I'm honoring my prophet.
Amen.
Honoring someone who's been a blessing to me.
Amen.
Someone that God has given me. And I just want to wear this in his honor. That's all. That is it. Just wearing this in his honor. That's all. Amen. And then bring your special prepared gift. you know, nice envelope, whatever, and then do it. We'll also be able to do it, you know, by text, so that opportunity will also be there. And then you write him a note. That is very important because, to my surprise, he actually reads all these things. He actually reads the notes. If you send Bishop a message, he'll get it. And don't be surprised. One day he will see you and just say, "Is that you?" You'll be surprised. Do you get it? Okay, you can show this thing. Just turn on the light for a second. Just like one, two. Yes, just show it. Actually, you're turning off the wrong one. This is the one you need to turn off. Okay, just show it. It's a very short, like 30 seconds or something like that. Yes. You can kill this guy too. The light. Uh-huh, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. So you can see it clearer. That's it. Isn't it a blessing? You say that is your father. That's something to be proud of. Hallelujah. In a foreign land. That's happening last night. This is just last night in Muslim. Okay. This is opposition. Amen.
Amen.
Shame on you. I've finished preaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're going to join the Honor Your Prophet campaign. We're going to do that next week. Amen. And all of you be proud of it. And I believe God is going to bless us.
Amen.
It's his birthday. We're going to celebrate it nicely. Amen. And a blessing will come upon the church.
Amen.
Right? Let's pray, everybody. Just close your eyes and let's pray. Yes. Lord, we thank you. Now, before, yes, you can stand up if you want. Now, as we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, that you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, your sins are not forgiven, that if you were to die today, you don't know if you'll go to heaven or not. You're not sure about it. I want to give you that opportunity to be sure before you leave this place tonight. So in just 1 minute, I want you to raise up your right hand right now. It's not going to last long at all. To give you an opportunity to go home with Jesus Christ, to go home a different person from the way you came in, to go home knowing and having that assurance that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven. I want you to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? See your hand. God bless you. Just keep it up. Is there anybody else? God is speaking to you and you feel it inside you. You feel like you should you go or should you not go? Should you raise up your hand or should you not raise up your hand? That is God. You are wrestling with God, but God wants to save you tonight. You're not here by accident. God knew you were coming here. God purposed to meet you here to begin a change in your life starting tonight with asking Jesus to come into your heart. So is there anybody else who wants to do this? Up your right. Thank you. Now, if you want to give your life to Christ, and if you're serious about it, if your hand is up and you're serious about it, just come up to me. Just come up to me right here. I want to pray with you right here. Just come stand right here. Yes. Is there anybody else who wants to come and give your life to Jesus? You want to join tonight? to give your life to Jesus tonight. Is there anybody else? Just come right now. Don't stay there too long. Just come right now. It's an opportunity for you. Oh, yes. Come on, sing it again. I just want to lead you in a prayer, and I want you to say this prayer after me, okay? I want everybody else to join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart,
I believe with my heart
that you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth,
and I confess with my mouth
that God raised you from the dead. Say, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Say, oh Jesus, I know you love me. Tonight I respond to your love. I want to start afresh with you. New life with you. Save my soul, Jesus. Say, devil, tonight you and I are done.
I will not serve you anymore.
Jesus, I'll serve him from tonight. I will live for Jesus from tonight. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and for hearing my prayer. Amen. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this brother. And I thank you for saving him. I pray, Lord, that you will establish him in your house, in Christ Jesus. Reveal yourself to him. Let him know God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. What's your name? Billy. God bless you, Billy. Amen. Right. God bless you. Clap for Billy, everybody. Amen.